Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them I sent you. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today's Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Second episode of today. First one, I gave you my thoughts on this past weekend in Atlanta. But now we're flipping the page and we are on to Nats Park. Phillies with a three-game series against the Washington Nationals, which means, of course, I crossed over with good friend of the podcast, Josh Neighbors of Locked On Nationals. If you don't know by now, a longtime friend of mine, we went to camp together and we've, you know, followed each other's careers, kept in touch all these years. And now we're both working on the same podcast network, talking about two different teams. Very, very cool. And obviously a lot of opportunities to cross over with each other, given that the Phillies and Nationals are in the same division. First time the Phillies are playing the Nationals this season. We'll be interested to see what they look like. The Nationals have struggled offensively. You'll hear Josh talk a little bit about that. We talked about the Phillies' struggles so far this season, this weird National League East that is not going the way anyone thought of it. And yeah, basically caught up and talked some baseball. So without any further hesitation, I now present to you my conversation with Josh Neighbors.
All right, Phillies meet the Nationals. You know what that means? Our good old friend Dan Wilson is back. I am Josh Neighbors, the host of Locked On Nationals. Joining me is Dan Wilson, the host of Locked On Phillies, another crossover edition. Dan, either the last time we spoke or the time before, I got a negative review because we mentioned Texas basketball. I'm sure you recall that. So I'm going to start off this with a non-baseball related question. Have you seen the show Ted Lasso?
I have not, but I hear good things.
You should watch it. If you just want to feel better about yourself, you should watch it. That's my... So a big thing. It's, you know what it is? It is the television show for people who are in the sports community. It's like the hot television show. It's you know, Friday Night Lights back in the day was a hot show. I'm trying to think what else was a sports community related show. Can't really think of any other ones, but this one is the show for people who cover sports.
You know what I found myself watching earlier in the pandemic was Ballers, and I got really into that. I don't know if you were a fan.
It's the show with The Rock, right?
Of course, yeah. Yes. So I made it through three seasons of that, and then I ended up kind of tailing off of it a little bit. But yeah, I was super into that. I've been told it's basically just like the sports version of Entourage. I got super into Cobra Kai, which I guess, you know, karate's a sport. So I watched all of that, or I have watched all of that. So
I have not seen that. Is it worth watching?
Yes, it is. So if I watch Ted Lasso, you have to watch Cobra Kai. Thing is, I've never even seen the original Karate Kid movie. So now I have to like go back and watch that. But
I have not seen it either. If you're going to see a karate movie, you got to see Bloodsport, which is, in my opinion, is the best. It's one of the best. Honestly, it's one of the best sports movies. Jean-Claude Van Damme, one of the worst actors ever. I mean, this guy cannot act worth a lick, but looks incredible and kicks a lot of ass in that movie. So that's a must watch. Sports, there's your segue. We're going into now baseball talk. So the Nationals play the Phillies. And at this point in time, the Phillies are what? A game out of first place right now in the National League East, as I pull up the standings. The Phillies are three games, or excuse me, Nationals are three games out. The Phillies are just a game out. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was going to say you're saying the Phillies being a game out of first place as if that's some of their own doing. I'm pretty sure everyone in the NL East is essentially a game out. I know the Nationals are technically three games out, like
three and a half.
So everyone's still in this division, which means something, and it means nothing. It means no one has gone run away with this division that we all thought would be good. We're sitting here on May 11th and it's fairly mediocre, fairly everyone's kind of just treading water at this point. Someone's going to go on a winning streak at some point. Thought for a hot sec last week it might be the Phillies. They rattled off five in a row. They go down to Atlanta, a place they could never win, and beat them 12-2. First time they'd scored double digits all season long. And I was feeling good about the Phillies. And then they decided to, they were a strike away from winning on Saturday, and they decided to throw a fastball to Pablo Sandoval on a 1-2 pitch. He smacks it over the fence. Then they blew another save in the 11th and in the 12th. It was just, there's been a lot of bad Phillies losses over the past couple of years. Last year, 19, 18, this was as bad as any of them. It took about 5 hours to play. And then they just had nothing left on Sunday. It's just unbelievable the way this team sometimes finds ways to lose games. And it's like that one loss morally undid the five wins they had. I know it doesn't really work like that in the standings, but right. People who have watched this team day in and day out, such as myself and the fan base, are like, you know, here we go again. You can't really get super into the team from a belief standpoint, because, you know, after there's a winning streak, there's some brutal stretches of losing coming right behind it. And it seems like it's just a break-even team. It seems like a 500 team, a team destined to kind of just tread water. They were winning one, losing one, winning one, losing one for the longest time. Couldn't win more than two in a row. They rattle off five in a row, and then they lose two more. And this team still can't figure out ways to consistently win on the road.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the fact that they're really good on the road and they're bad at home. They're really bad on the road and they're good.
Well, so that's just it. They were a strike away from winning a road series for the first time.
And then they didn't.
And now they lost two games, and now they have two more chances to do it. I think they actually have a good, I'll get your take on the Nationals this year. I think they have a good chance to do it down in DC in these three games, and then and a big series. They haven't stepped on the field with the Nats yet. They got three in Dunedin against the Blue Jays, so two more shots at this, but they still can't win a road series. And you're right, they've been very good at home, very bad on the road, and it's just, that's not gonna fly. Good teams need to tread water on the road and be very good at home, and they're a real step behind. And this dates back years that this team can't find ways to win away from Citizens Bank Park. And Atlanta especially, it's Freddie Freeman comes in cold, the team comes in cold, and the Braves, their eyes must just light up when they see the Phillies on the schedule, because Freeman knows he's getting his act together, the team knows they're getting their act together, and if history's any indicator, they'll rattle off like 8 out of their next 11 here and run away with the National League East, and we can all thank the Phillies for that.
Well, here's what's interesting. So, and I feel like this is true across the National League East. Now, I'm looking now at the Phillies schedule, and I invite you to go look at the National schedule. These teams have had brutal stretches, absolutely brutal. So, you know, I know the Braves' record's not good yet, but the Braves are good. The Braves are a good baseball team.
So I hear you. If you want to be a good team, you're going to have to play these teams eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying off the bat, having to play really difficult teams is not the most advantageous.
It's true. And then, but also you're getting the Braves at a time when they're vulnerable. Like, this was a chance to beat the Braves, because if they're hitting their stride in July or August and September, when this team plays well down the stretch of a season, they're even more difficult to beat. It's funny. I had the opportunity. I mentioned this on my, I actually recorded a podcast earlier today, and then this will be my second of the day. But the idea of, I was on a little self plug here. I was producing WIP last night. We were kind of speculating. One of the topics of the night was why this team, every time the Phillies get stuck on national TV or just in a big game, especially on the road, this team seems to come up small. And a theory that kind of was being worked at this point was that this roster, as it's currently constructed, is a number of guys who have basically no history of winning. I mean, J.T. Realmuto, regarded as the best catcher in baseball, has never been on a winning team. Bryce Harper's never been out of the division series. Zach Wheeler watched as the Mets went to the World Series. Jose Alvarado is kept off the World Series roster. But it's basically a lot of guys who you think are good or have a lot of experience. Even Andrew McCutchen, it doesn't have a ton of experience going deep into the postseason. I don't believe he's ever been past the division round. Gene Segura has never had real postseason experience. So there's not a lot of big games or a lot of postseason contention experience on this team. And really who is supposed to make up for that is the manager and Joe Girardi. And again, this dates back well before him, but I view it as he was hired, if nothing else, as a clubhouse guy, a guy who's supposed to manage humans maybe a little bit better than Gabe Kapler is, but a guy who's supposed to basically fill that void. This guy's won a World Series. This guy's managed in a lot of big games in Yankee Stadium. And yet every time they go down and they were playing in a raucous crowd in Atlanta, they're going, I mean, it's basically normal down there. It's full capacity, no masks, they're loud. It's a very tough place to play. And every single time they find themselves in a big game, whether it's national TV or a big divisional opponent or on the road, they need to come up with a win. They seem to come up small, and they seem to consistently come up small in these moments. And no one's a better, maybe metaphor, microcosm of that than a guy like Aaron Nola, who is consistently regarded by many as the ace of the staff. But what some other people, including myself, sometimes hesitate to say that for is he hasn't been good down the stretch in September's. He hasn't really proven to be a stopper. He goes out, can only get through 58 pitches on Sunday Night Baseball, and the Phillies get a 1-0 lead. And then he basically lets the game slip right away in the first, letting a huge, what was it, four or five runs?
Four or five, Atlanta. I was watching that game, yeah.
In the first inning. And you're saying, like, this team just never has it. They never seem to rise to the occasion.
They don't have that punch where it's like,
I don't think that's as we don't usually talk about that as big a deal in baseball as, say, in basketball,
right?
Where we rank guys' legacies by their rings, and this guy's been to this level of the playoffs, or quarterbacks who have been there. Like, this, that's the clear leader of the team. Even Bryce Harper, as I mentioned, although he was on all those Nats teams that kept losing in the first round, like, these guys know a lot of losing, and there's a lot of failing in baseball, but there's no one who really has any history of success other than the manager. And yet the team still seems unprepared for the moment, time in and time out. So I don't know what that tells you other than, like, it's just something preventing them from getting over the hump.
I think what it shows you is that they've got a little bit more to go than what we thought at the beginning of the season, because, you know, I think that's true across the board. I mean, I feel like with what's happened so far this year, that this was a great opportunity for a lot of teams to get ahead of the Braves. Really, you and I have talked about this too. It's sitting right there. But here's Dan. What it's turned out to be is everybody is just sitting there waiting for the Braves to catch them. Is what it's turned into. And in some respects,
and the Braves are going to run away with at this rate, the Braves are going to run away with the division anyway, because everyone has let them. It was four runs in that first inning, by the way. The fifth run, Freddie Freeman again getting hot just when in time to play the Phillies, hits a home run in the third inning, and then they ended up winning the game 6-1. And the Phillies were never in it past the first inning, and you could feel it. And it was a carryover from the night before, and it's just unbelievable how fast that series switched. If you had asked someone to make, I don't know what kind of odds you could have gotten on the Phillies winning the series, seriously, when they were up 1-2 on Pablo Sandoval, or what kind of odds you could have gotten on the Braves winning the series. They're down to their final strike, down two runs. I mean, seriously, and they managed to claw their way back. It's just incredible.
More of the Locked On Phillies podcast, Locked On Nationals crossover episode coming right up. But first, want to tell you about Sports Trade. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so be sure to check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is as simple as player values rising and falling based on two factors. One, their statistical performances in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you'd like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and see your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. Also want to tell you about my friends at Credit Karma. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want you to help even more. With Credit Karma's money spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can wish cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you see the Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back into your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC insured account, spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees or fee withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Credit Karma Money, progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
It, like, the statistical odds of that happening would be quite great. And I want to mention this, the schedule though, is that they've played, so the Phillies have played 9 with Atlanta, and so far in those 9 games are a total of 5-4. So actually they're above 500 against the Braves. Now in their last 6 games, the sweep. In their last 6, they're 2-4. In the last six, they're 2-4. They have played the Mets 9 times. And against the Mets, I think they're what? They're 3-6. That's a bugaboo. That's a bad one for you guys. And then they played the Cardinals.
And by the way, the rain saved them from going 3-7. They had to grind that Thursday.
Yes. And also the rain saved them from 3-7, and the DeGrom in the first game could have flipped. So you could be staring at potentially a 2-8. All right. You played the Cardinals 6 times. You've played the Brewers 4 times. The only,
they have winning records with the Cardinals and Brewers. That Giants series was not a good series.
Yeah.
For
the Cardinals really have not played well against the National League East. I think they went 2-4 against the Nationals. They've used, like you said, they got you guys have a winning series. Yeah, I believe you guys won what, 3-4, 4-7 against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The only gimme series, I put that in quotation marks. The only series against a playoff contending team, I guess you could say, is that series they had against the Rockies.
Yeah, so, and they lost 2-3.
I think we did talk about that. That's what the stuff is won and lost. But this 6-game stretch is going to tell us something about the Phillies, because you're coming off a tough road stretch, right? You had them dead to rights to win the series, and you didn't. All right, now you got 3 against a struggling team, and then I would call Toronto a talented group. I would say it's a group that is yet to put everything together. They're 17-16. They're 7-4 on them, so better. They played a ton of road games. They're going to be able to put up some runs. But first things first, I look at this Nationals Phillies series, and I look at the pitching matchups, because obviously I think both teams are going to avoid the other team's ace, if I'm correct.
Wheeler's pitching like an ace right now. The Nats are
right.
Gonna avoid
so yeah, yeah. So it's going to be.
But yeah, the Phillies aren't getting Max, and the Nats aren't getting Nola.
Yeah, so it's going to be Fetty, Lester, and Corbin, Anderson, Wheeler, and Eflin. Could you pick more of a crapshoot than Chase Anderson versus Eric Fetty?
I was going to say tonight's game sounds like a battle of the bullpens pretty quickly.
But it's going to be a big one. I'm telling you,
it is a big one. These are where divisions are won and lost.
This is a huge series because
back end of the rotation guy can go deeper.
Well, the Nationals are leaking oil in a pretty serious way. They beat the Yankees 11-4 on Friday night after a sweep against the Braves. They lose 4-3 in 11 innings on Saturday, and spin it forward to Sunday. They walk 10 guys. Brad Hand blew 2 saves this weekend. Well, not 2 saves, but he picked up a loss on Sunday. He blew a save on Saturday.
Josh,
the Nationals have some serious questions.
Have the Nationals blown 3 saves in the same game yet? To talk to me when that happens, right? Okay. I don't want to hear it until they do that.
Look, the Nats don't have a blown save problem. It's more of Brad Hand has a Yankees problem, which is something that predates Brad Hand on the Nationals. Luckily for Brad Hand, they don't play the Yankees that often, so he doesn't have to worry that much about that coming back to bite him. But I will say this, with them losing 5 of their last 6, it's not too early to panic, but the Nationals, I know they're not full strength, and for the Phillies fans out there listening, the real story for the Nationals is the fact that Kyle Schwarber and Josh Bell were red hot before and during spring training. Both got on. I think, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say both had the coronavirus because they were out 14 days and couldn't even take BP, which leads me to believe that you can't be around anybody for 14 days, which means you probably had COVID. So both those guys probably got COVID and came back and have been, Schwarber, I'm not going to call horrible. Josh Bell has been outright horrible. I didn't think it would get much worse than what they got from Eric Thames last year. Outright horrible.
Well, this is what
Josh, I feel so bad for him because he was, go look at his spring numbers. Go look at his spring numbers. The guy is about to transition from playing, you know, he's playing for a new team, and all of a sudden, guess what? Can't see anybody for 2 weeks. They can't take BP for 2 weeks, and we just shovel you back into the lineup. Now, the excuses are over. He's been playing for a while now, but still, it just, I feel so bad for a guy like him, a guy like Schwarber, that to be tossed in like that, because that's not one of those things where you're like, they're millionaires, we shouldn't feel bad for them. This is like, they're legitimately alone for weeks because they have their casualties, not actual casualties, but casualties of an awful virus.
I was going to say, but this is what Josh Bell does, though. You know that's part of the risk.
Not 145. Not 145.
But historically, he has had really bad stretches, and sometimes there's a good one that follows. Kyle Schwarber at least has gotten, he's got two walk-off home runs this season.
Yes, he does.
So he's got some big moments, some clutch gene moments, if you will, but
yes,
disappointed. The offense as a whole for the Nationals has been disappointing.
I have a question for you. I actually
One of the Nats are 29th out of 30th in runs scored this season. Yeah, and the only team below them is the Mets.
I mean,
both in the NL East.
They left 22 guys on base against the Braves.
The Phillies got a problem with that also.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Dan. The situational hitting across baseball this year has been awful. They deadened the ball because they thought people wanted, and Jason Benetti said this the other day, because they thought people wanted to see doubles and triples. It seems like the only way to score runs at this point still is the home run, and we're not getting as many of them.
There's a lot of
the strikeouts are obviously up. This completely backfired on baseball. But I don't want to lament baseball. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is a very good way of kind of gauging where we're at. You're a Phillies fan, right? And not just calling you a fan, but in addition to being somebody who covers a team, you're a fan. Coming into this series from a Phillies fan's perspective, and you can, you know, I'll group all of them with you. I'm just saying, you know, but like, I feel you got a pretty good pulse on it.
Vibe of the fan base, pulse of the
vibe of the fan base. What do the Phillies fans view as a series? They view this as a series where they should take 2 of 3. Or they sit there and look and be like, look, we're happy with 2 of 3 because of how bad we've been on the road this year. How do Phillies fans view coming into DC this weekend?
I'll speak for myself first and foremost. Okay. I view it as it definitely, if you can get 2 of 3, it's a successful series. I don't know if that's necessarily the expectation. I don't think anyone has the realistic expectation or really believes in their heart of hearts that this team will win a road series just because they haven't done it and they've been a strike away and still couldn't pull it off. Now, the Nationals are not the team that the Braves are, in my opinion. I think they're a much more vulnerable team in last place in the National League East. You're not going to see Scherzer in the series. You're going to get some pitchers who the offense should score some runs against in a ballpark that is not as hard to play. Like the opportunity is there. And so I view this as a series that the Phillies absolutely, it's like another test. There's been so many countless games that it's like, if this team wants to be serious about contending, they need to win X amount of games here, X amount of games there. They're 1-2 on the road trip thus far. I think a 2-3, maybe starting with a win tonight off of Fetty and then taking one of the next two in Nats Park would be a nice way of evening out this road trip. As funny as it sounds, keeping yourself atop the National League East or within a game of the top of the National League East. And then who knows what they'll do in Dunedin this weekend, but one series at a time. So I view this as a series that certainly the Phillies are capable of winning 2 out of 3. They haven't proven that they can do it. I think certainly they should do it because I still hold this team to a high standard. They talk and act like this team wants to contend for the postseason. They're all in on this team contending for the postseason, given the manager they have, the president of the team that they have, the guys on the roster that they have. Like, they're all in. They have guys in their primes trying to win right now, and losing 2 out of 3 in every road series just isn't going to cut it at some point. It's the first time you're seeing the Nationals. It's two teams that play each other 19 times a year, and even though the Phillies have stepped on the field 9 times with the Braves and the Mets thus far, it's a bit of a fresh start. They're going to get the other teams in the division now. They got the Nationals here. They have the Marlins still 6 times this month. it's a nice chance to do some damage against the division, against a team that you have no history with as far as this season is concerned. Yeah, why not go take 2 of 3? But I'm not going to sit here and predict that because they've shown no proof of concept as of yet.
For me, it's one series of the Nationals. They have to take 2 of 3. They have to get this thing going in the right direction. Against, you know, that, I mean, I guess the Phillies are what, they're 2.5 games ahead of them. It would allow them to do a little bit of catching up, right? Just in a weak standpoint, you know, they need to, because we talked about it. There's no going 19-31, right? There is none of that this year. You're not, I mean, look, I know
the world, the you're not the defending world champs anymore. Like right. That hangover.
Metrically speaking, also too, like maybe this is the year that you can go 19-31 and catch up in this division. But no, I mean, anybody who thinks that this division is going to stay down forever is wrong. I want to say this. I saw our cohorts, Aram Layton and Dylan Short, saying that, oh, look, the Nationals are in last place. We kind of saw this coming. Yo, they had the coronavirus at the beginning of the season. Are you kidding me? Steven Strasburg was out. Juan Soto got injured. Wander Suero's was out for 2 weeks. Still out right now. Luis Avila, who they used a bunch, was out. Will Harris was out to begin the year. You go down the lineup, they missed Josh Harrison. They missed Kyle Schwarber. They missed Josh Bell. All of those guys were out of the lineup for a period of time. Steven Strasburg, out. John Lester has made 2 starts so far for the Nationals. They were pitching guys like Fetty. They didn't think they'd have to pitch. They were pitching Paolo Espino start of the game. They did not think they were going to have to go that route at one point in time. So all things considered, and once again, go look at who they've had to play. Go look at their schedule. It's been absolutely brutal. So miss me with that stuff. Also, they played the Marlins last week and swept them. Quite comfortably.
I would be
Schwarber walk-off game.
I would be very happy if the Phillies did that. They have 3 on the road.
The Marlins had nothing for them. Nothing for them. Swept their ass out of D.C. Easy money. So I don't want to hear this crap of the Nationals being the worst team. If you've watched the game so far this year, this incomplete Nationals team took it to the Marlins last week. So look, the Nationals, are they one of the best teams in the division at this point in time? No, they're not. But they're not the worst. Well, who would you rather play, Dan? Who would you rather play? Do you ever play the Nats or the Marlins?
If I'm the Phillies?
Yes.
The Nats, because they can't figure out how to beat the Marlins.
But that's no. Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
This team doesn't know how to win a Marlins Park.
Objectively speaking, you think that the better team of the two is the
Nationals. Will say the Marlins are the
Would you rather who would you rather face Juan Soto or Starling Marte?
Starling Marte. I mean,
Trey Turner or Jazz Chisholm?
I know. Yeah. Come on. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I just want
to. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. I will say the Marlins are the only team in this division thus far with a positive run differential.
They smacked a few teams a couple times. There you go. That's what it means.
But every other team is literally riding in the negatives, like in the red when it comes to run differential.
Differential means nothing.
If that matters to you.
The final segment of the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Nationals crossover episode is coming right up, but first I want to tell you about my friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. Again, that promo code is LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
If that matters.
But here's the thing, Dan. You can lose a game 16-1, it still counts as one loss.
And you can win
a game the next day 2-1, you're still 1-1.
Over the course of the season, I think it speaks to something at least.
Yes, but we're still early.
I get it, but for the sample size we have, if we're judging this sample size, the Marlins have actually put up some runs. Now,
yes.
In terms of, so I'm looking at this May schedule for the Phillies: 3 in DC, 4 in Miami. That I was talking about how the Phillies can't win in Atlanta. It's typically a raucous crowd. On the flip side of that,
there's actually a crowd. Like there is 100% crowd.
There's a 100% crowd in Atlanta. No mass, no nothing. It's just normal.
No mess.
They're going down to Miami for, and that place, not only can they never win when it's a full house, they also can't win in ballparks when there's nobody there. Like, they never get a spark when there's no energy. So I don't, you know, which side is it? Can they not, can they literally just not win away from their stadium? They seem to crumble in the moment when the crowd and everyone is against them and the lights are the brightest, but they also seem to crumble in games when it feels like nobody is watching because the team just looks dead.
They're just a bad road team.
Maybe they're just a bad road team. And I'm just like trying to find
right now, Dan, they're a bad road team. They're a
but not even just right now. It dates back years.
I mean, yeah, look, that's they are a team that always is a really, they've got a really good home crowd. They've got a good ballpark. And, you know, there is a huge difference. Like, playing the Phillies at Citizens Bank always feels difficult, no matter what the Phillies record is. Honestly, it's me being honest. I really do believe that. Playing the Phillies at Citizens Bank in the summer, good crowd, decent team, still feels like a challenge. Now, you get the you get the Phillies out of Citizens Bank Park, you're all you're, and this is how I think about it as a Nationals observer, and potential fan of a National League East team. I think Phillies away from home, I'm always thinking 2 of 3. I'm always thinking 2 of 3. Obviously,
yeah, the Phillies
go one of them every day.
They're thinking about giving away 2 of 3 also. So we're on the same page.
So prediction for this series, Dan, just so we can wrap this up. I know you, I get you going out of here. I have the Nats winning 2 of 3 because they have to. It's not me being a Nats homer. I thought they'd lose 2, just full disclosure. I thought Atlanta would take 2 of 3. I thought the Yankees would take 2 of 3, and they went 1 and 5. So they actually underperformed in that sense. I think the Nationals have got to get 2 of 3. I think they get 2 of 3 here against the Phillies, who don't necessarily need it as bad as the Nats do.
I'd love to say that the Phillies, I mean, it feels like the Phillies need 2 of 3 after the
weekend. No, I get that.
I'd love to believe that the Phillies will get 2 of 3 because they need it and they rise to the occasion. The history just isn't there. You're probably right. They probably find a way to lose 2 of 3 of these games and just be annoying because they still can't do it. I really hope they get 2 of 3. Probably feels like 1 of 3. It's just me being honest. And they'll win one of these first two games, and somehow David Hale find himself pitching in a high leverage situation late in the series because they've run through this bullpen. That's how they lost that Sunday game in Colorado, by the way. He's in with the bases loaded, serves up a grand slam to Trevor Story. Again, I get you're running out of bullpen options, but there were guys who were down and you want to manage these innings that did not make any sense. And I'm telling you, some of these moves that Joe Girardi makes in games leave you head scratching. So the other night, and again, you wouldn't have necessarily noticed this because there was a lot going on in that game in 12 innings. And there were storylines left and right that I thought got buried because of what happened late in this game. Girardi in the 7th, I believe it was, made a double switch. He took Gene Segura, who's been like the team's hottest hitter, out of the game. He took Segura out of the game, left Scott Kingery in the game, who was double switched in earlier, like an inning before, and they stuck Alec Bohm at first. Rather than subbing in Andrew Knapp, rather than subbing in Rhys Hoskins, who was having a second off day, and again, he's slumping again. But Scott Kingery, basically because of Joe Girardi's double switches, got 3 at-bats in a close game the other night, in a game he had no business in playing. He doesn't look like he belongs in the major leagues right now. Like, I view that as you gave away 3 at-bats in a tight game. And I just didn't understand why he picked a division game to give Hoskins the off day. Again, I get he's struggling. They moved him down in the lineup on Sunday. They hit him 7th, but he had the off day earlier in the week. He certainly, I don't think anyone would argue, even him slumping is not a better option than Scott Kingery. They subbed in Nick Maton. They found a way to get him in the game, who's been good, but subbing out Segura, not having him for his offense, especially late in that game, did not make a lot of sense to me. There's a lot of head scratching decisions. He's gone to David Hale in some spots that he doesn't belong in. And that's why I was so happy that they finally won a blowout game on Friday, because this team literally tied a franchise record with 7 consecutive one-run games. And so they had guys pitching well above their pay grade, and sometimes they get away with it. They held on to win last week against the Brewers, and there was a game where Eniel De Los Santos and Matt Moore both gave you scoreless innings. Now, those guys are not going to lock it down for you every time. It was De Los Santos who ultimately blew the game in the 12th the other night. But between Kingery getting multiple at bats, David Hale coming in a high leverage spot in Colorado, this team sometimes just looking unprepared, the mental errors. Everyone wanted JT Realmuto here all offseason. I thought he called a frankly horrible pitch to Sandoval. Like, I really don't understand it. I don't know if that's him just having a brain fart or lack of preparation or just not knowing the situation or knowing Sandoval or what it is, but it's happened time in and time out against Girardi that a mental blunder against the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball with Rhys Hoskins, like this happens a lot. And whether it's the physical moves he makes in game or sometimes just the blunders, bad defense, physical blunders. You had texted me that the worst defense you've ever seen in a major league game.
It was the worst defense I've ever seen in a major
league game. Was the Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball against the Mets. And I don't have a good retort to that. I can't think of an example that was worse. It looked pretty damn bad. And so there's just been a lot of people who, you know, are fans of the podcast have told me that maybe I come off as a little hard on Girardi, but excuse me for having high expectations for a guy who has won the World Series before, is the only experienced winner in that clubhouse at all. And it just doesn't rub off. Like I don't see it at all. Sometimes he makes moves that doesn't really make sense. And I think, all right, well, he knows what he's doing. And then it comes back to bite him in the ass. I just don't get it.
Dan, a lot of frustration. It sounds like Phillies need to get some wins for you. Where can people find you in the podcast?
Yeah, of course. So at @LO_Phillies is, of course, where you can follow the podcast. At @Dan_Wilson4 is where you can follow my own work. A lot of fun stuff going on. The podcast, working at WIP here in Philadelphia, which is a job that, you know, I'm kind of still, you know, working my way up, and it's been a lot of fun getting to work there. I just make corny jokes about sports, about Philadelphia sports, whatever it is. It's a good time. So come follow the podcast. Come follow myself on Twitter. Again, that's @Dan_Wilson4.
I'm @Josh_Neighbors_. You can follow the podcast @LO_Nationals and LO Big 12. He wants Big 12 talk. It sounds like Apple Podcasts is getting their SHIT together. So that means the podcasts.
What does that spell, Neighbors? I don't know how to.
That is shit. That is what it spells. Locked On Nationals podcast is available, and Locked On Phillies podcast should be available once again in the Apple Podcast. I know they've been skipping episodes, but you can both find them there. Dan Wilson, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Josh.
That'll do it for today's Locked On Phillies, Locked On Nationals crossover episode. Special thank you to Josh Neighbors. Always fun crossing over with him. Hopefully the Phillies can get 2 out of 3 down in D.C., a much-needed road series win, long overdue for this Phillies team. So we will certainly see how that plays out, and I will certainly be keeping in touch with him all series long. As I mentioned at the end of our recording session, if you want to follow the podcast, @LO_Phillies, or follow myself on Twitter, @Dan_Wilson4. Again, that'll do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. More episodes coming later this week. Get all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.